It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Again, today is a historic day, right? This is going to be it's just an amazing thing that we have the right, no, I'm sorry, we have the privilege to vote. Today, millions of people are going out there to vote, and it is a historical day. And no matter what, do not listen to the naysayers that says that your vote doesn't count. Your vote absolutely counts. Get out there and vote and make a difference. This, again, is a privilege that can be taken away. There's hundreds of thousands of Americans who have lost their privilege to vote. And over the world, there's millions of people who cannot vote, who've never had the chance to vote. It is a privilege, not a right. And please get out there and vote. Make things happen. Do not give in to the doubt and the naysayers talking about it doesn't work. The system's broken. The system's not broken. It works when you work it. All right, that's my little rant for today. Let's get this party started. My first guest today, regular contributor, Norm Blumenthal. He is a labor attorney. Norm Blumenthal, an attorney for workers and consumers like you and me, selected, by the way, as one of America's top attorneys in Southern California. Norm Blumenthal, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Good to be here. And I like your attitude, and I think we should look at a little history because we're going to have a lot of time to talk about the future after the election. But let's think back to where we were in 2008. In 2008, oil was about $140 a barrel. Gasoline was $5 a gallon. Interest rates were between 6 and 8%, and the economy had just collapsed because of the greed of the banks and the oil companies. And it's now taken 8 years, and we're back to where the economy is on solid footing after 8 years of a Republican administration from 2000 to 2008. This Republican administration allowed the banks and the oil companies to steal everything that wasn't nailed down. They took all the money, and they literally siphoned it out of the economy. And over the last 8 years, President Obama has been able to put the money back into the economy. President Obama and Congress, they have basically taken the banks, and they are under a very tight leash. And President Obama, by allowing the manufacturers, the oil companies in this country, an open rein, they have been able to, we have virtually energy independence, and we've brought oil prices down to under $50 a barrel, and gasoline prices to under $2 a gallon. Now, every working stiff out there, you got a raise because of the fact that interest rates have gone down on your homes, gasoline prices have gone down at the pumps, and this is all due to President Obama. Now, we're at a juncture where we have to decide whether we want to keep doing the same thing for the working stiffs of America, or you want to go back to a Republican administration that had caused you all the problems that you encountered in 2008. And I think the answer is an easy answer. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't rock the boat, baby. Let's just keep going on a steady course with the Democratic administration. Right now, the economy's recovery is here. It's bringing actual pay raises to Americans and actual raises that you're going to use. And in the future, with a Democratic administration, we are going to be able to get increases in minimum wages across the country, which puts more money back in the workers' pocket. We are going to be able to get an increase to up to $125,000 on the earned income tax credit. That means if a family of four makes under $125,000 a year, they'll pay no income taxes. And how will we be able to do that and balance the budget? Because anybody making over $2 million a year, they're going to have a 50% tax. And so that's how the balance, the budget's going to be balanced. It's going to be balanced because the top 1% are going to pay their fair share, which is 50% or more. And the people that are need to put the money back into the economy are not going to have to pay income taxes and be burdened with the taxes that the 1% does not pay. That's where we're headed if we continue with a Democratic administration. So while you encourage everybody to go out and vote, I'm encouraging everybody as an attorney for labor and knowing where we're headed to vote for a Democratic president, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic House. Because with that, remember, we are in a situation, look at it as a pendulum. On the right, you have pro-management, the Republican Party. In the center, you have Hillary Clinton. On the left, you have Bernie Sanders, a very pro-labor candidate. We ended up with a center-left candidate or a right candidate. The left wasn't strong enough to put Bernie up. So these are your choices, and it's a clear choice. So when you go out and vote, vote Democratic, vote your pocketbook. It's the economy, stupid. Everything else doesn't count. This is an adversary system. The Republican Party, their calling card is management, which is fine. The Democratic Party, their calling card is labor, which is fine. So if you're a laborer, if you're a working stiff and you get a paycheck, it's easy to see who you should be voting for. Who's going to put more money in your pocket? Do you want $150 oil again? Do you want 10% interest rates again? Do you want lower wages? Then vote for a Republican because they're going to put money in the hands of the 1%. If you want money in your pocket, you vote Democratic.
Right. And you know what? And here's the thing. And you know, I've said this before. You got to follow the money. It's real simple. Look, you may not be a fan of Hillary, but we're not talking about Hillary. We're talking about the Democratic mindset here. And so in this case, if you are a working class stiff, then this is a better choice. It's a no-brainer choice. If you look at, you know, if you look at how the parties have behaved, how the candidates have behaved, then again, I think Hillary is a clear choice. And then I also want to talk about this, since you were talking about some of the economic changes. I want to talk about this article that you sent to me. It's called "The Economic Recovery is Finally Bringing Pay Raises." Talk about this article. It's an article by Ben Castleman. And it's something that I guess Ben put some stats together from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Talk about this article.
Sure. You know, the average U.S. employee right now earns $25.92 an hour. That's the average. But remember, in that average, half of Americans earn under $15 an hour. So we've got a big group that we need to get the increase. And this $25 number, the $26 number, it's up almost 3% from a year earlier. So wages are growing. We're in a situation now where not only there's an uptick in jobs, like you've seen, every single month of the Obama administration, he has increased jobs. And last month, he increased jobs by 161,000 jobs. And these weren't service jobs at McDonald's. These were jobs for nurses. These were jobs for teachers. These were jobs for technicians. And these are jobs that are going to be available to the working stiffs as we go from a manufacturing force to the manufacturing age, industrial age, to a digital age. Because you're going to need a lot of healthcare workers, you're going to need a lot of technicians, and you're going to need a lot of teachers. And to do this with the Democratic Party in power, we all will be able to have, our children will be able to have, the ability to go to school, a public university, and if you make under $125,000 a year, your child will not have to pay, and you won't have to pay for them, any tuition. You're still going to have to pay room and board and books, but you're not going to have to pay any tuition. And this is a big leg up on everybody. And this is the concept of the party is bigger than the candidates. The Republican Party, you take Paul Ryan, and you take the Mitch McConnell. Their platforms are all platforms where they decrease the taxes for the wealthy and increase the taxes for the middle class. That's the opposite of what the Democrats want to do. The Democrats want to have taxes. If you're going to make more than a couple million dollars a year, you should pay 50% of your money in taxes. And anybody out there that wants the millionaires to pay less taxes than the working stiffs making $25 an hour, then I can't help you. But if you're out there and you're not making $2 million or more a year, then you should be voting for a Democrat, because this is how we're going to get to where we want to go. And we're in the spot now. We're in a healthy economy. You know, the hiring is going down a bit, but these hirings are all good jobs. And rising pay and falling unemployment, it's good news for President Obama. It's good news for when Hillary Clinton will take over. And it's bad news if the Republicans get back in office. And so we're on a pendulum, and the pendulum's swinging to labor having power, the labor force. And vote your pocketbook. Be a smart voter out there and vote for the Democrats, because in the end, those are the people that are going to put money in your pocket. And those are the people also that will balance the budget. You know, Obama, when he came into office to keep us from going into a depression, we had to go $2 trillion in budget deficit the first year. We're down to under $500 billion and going lower. And if we can get some tax increases on people making more than a couple million dollars a year, we're going to be a long way there, because there's a lot of people out there like Donald Trump making $695 million a year and paying no taxes. Well, that system doesn't work. That doesn't work. He could do just fine instead on $350 million after taxes, and then $695 million after taxes. So the system, it doesn't work, and we got to keep moving to the left and getting in a position where the working stiff has more of the money that's earned from the profits of their labor. And that's the problem. There's been productivity continues to go up for the worker, yet he's not sharing in the wealth. The company is keeping it because of the system that's in there as a result of the Republicans, who are the adversaries for management. And so when you vote for a Republican, you're voting for management. There's no big unions anymore that are going to protect you. The only thing that's going to protect the working stiff out there are laws. The union's not going to help you, because they don't exist anymore. Big union days are over. Manufacturing's over. Everybody's out there. But laws can help you. Increased minimum wage can help you. Decrease on the amount of tuition for your kids' schools. Lower oil prices. Lower gasoline prices. Ability to have lower interest rates. These are all things that happened under President Obama, and we need to keep going.
Right, and you know what? And here's the thing, because you've said this, you know, as long as I've known you now, that really we have to unite as working class stiffs. We have to unite as the Labor Party, if you will, because there isn't one, and that sometimes people are misled because they're not thinking economically, they're not thinking about where their money's coming from, they're not thinking about how it affects them financially. And some of the stuff that you're talking about, it makes a real big difference. Look, paying, you know, $2 or $2.50 or $3 at the pump is a far cry from the $4, $4.50 and $5 some of us experience. And like you said, it feels like an automatic raise. Knowing that we have a party who's working on bettering our educational system, our educational opportunity for our children, is something to consider, because we've seen this time and time again that a better educated individual tends to be more productive, tends to be happier, tends to be more fulfilled, and also tends to have better job or career experiences. It all ties in.
Yeah. it all ties in, and let's close the loop on this silly immigration issue. You know, building the wall, that nonsense that they
right.
talk about. What is the one card you use that you never have to show to anybody? Your Social Security card. You can go get a job in this country, fill out a U-9, and you can fill that out and you put in any Social Security number and no one ever checks that it's you and no one ever checks the number. And that's what the Republicans want, because they want cheap labor. That's the whole point. That's why nothing ever gets done, and they talk about the silly wall and this is going to stop people from coming in here and working illegally. No. What's going to stop that from happening is you're going to have a real Social Security card. It's going to have your fingerprint on it. It may have an iris scan, but it's going to have your Social Security, and it's not going to be able to be duplicated. So only one person gets to use a common name like Joe Smith Don Ramos or something like that. Everybody is going to be individual, and you can only hire people in the United States that are the U.S. citizens or have the work permits because they have a valid Social Security number. It's just that simple. And if there's not a job, no one's coming here. And it'll end this underground economy. And we're losing so much money in tax revenue from the underground economy where people are working under the table and jobs are being lost to U.S. citizens because of the underground economy. It'll be the end of it. And so it's just that simple. Think about it. Have you ever been asked to show your Social Security card? No.
Very seldom. Absolutely.
Never happens.
Right.
Never happens. And so that closes the last loop. To think that the Republican Party is in favor of tightening the number of people that can apply for a job is felony stupid. Of course they want cheap labor, because cheap labor means greater profits. And the Democratic Party wants the labor force to get the fair wage, and they want it to be from U.S. citizens. We have to solve this problem. We have to find out who's here, and we have to give everybody a card and go down the road.
Well, you know, and what's
it's not complicated.
Too, it's not that it's not complicated at all. But what's interesting too is something that you hit the nail on, and that is, big companies like Donald Trump, but you know that they want cheap labor, and look what they've done. So if they can't find cheap enough labor here, they outsource it to China, to India, and it goes to show you that, you know, that it's that mentality of I want my cake and eat it too. So if they give jobs away to places like China and India, it's okay because it helps their company. But on the same token, they don't want to do anything to help the American laborer, if you will, the American citizen, you know, with their situation. So it's one of those things that you have to, again, follow the money. What works for
yeah.
you and your family? And you have an obligation, you have a responsibility to take care of you and your family before anything else.
And the idea that you want to bring back these jobs where people have to sit 8 hours a day, you know, in front of a sewing machine or in front of some board and do that kind of labor for pennies is over. You know,
right.
We can't afford for our citizens. We need to shop at Walmart, because if we brought those jobs back here, which no one wants to do anyway, but if you brought those jobs back, which wouldn't pay enough, you would end up paying 60% more for these products. We don't want to pay more for the products. We want good, high-paying jobs that are good for our local economy. Service jobs, technician jobs, healthcare jobs. These are the jobs that are going to be there for the 21st century that are going to pay the kind of money you're going to want. And that money, when you're paid the $15 minimum wage for all those jobs, that puts the money right back into the labor force here. And basically, as we've talked about, all economies are local. And the more money that stays in a local economy, the more money that's going to be spent there. But the big companies, you only can, a millionaire can only spend so much money. He can only buy so many houses and so many refrigerators and so many cars. But a working stiff making $15 an hour, he will spend all his money. But he will have a living wage, and at the same time, it reduces the amount of money that's being spent on food stamps and other benefits that we have to pay for subsidies for people that don't have it, and you just end up having it for people with the safety net. That's where we're headed with the Democrats. It's clear thinking. This is the platform of the Democratic Party. This is where we're headed, which is very different from the platform of the Republican Party. And it's not to take away from the Republican Party. They're good at what they do. They convince voters with other issues to vote for management, and they're good at that. Otherwise, the vote today should be 99-1. But right. It's not, because it's very close, because they are able to convince people to vote for them and vote against their pocketbook. And that's what will end up happening. You'll end up with the Republicans. You'll end up with less money for Social Security, less money for Medicare, less money for health care, and more deficits and higher oil prices, higher gasoline prices, and higher interest rates, because the banks and the oil companies will be in a position where they can do whatever they want to do.
I love it. I love it. Norm Blumenthal, we're out of time. Always good to have you on the show. Looking forward to our next visit. And it's gonna be a historic day today. And so everybody get out there, vote with your pocketbook. Norm Blumenthal, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bert. You have a great day.
Good stuff there from Norm Blumenthal. And hey, Amy, let's do this. Let's contact Norm's office and let's schedule Norm back here, tomorrow or the next day, or maybe if his schedule allows it, as soon as possible, either this week or next week, so we can talk about his thoughts on the election. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
We are back. We are back. My next guest, Rick Cabella. And Rick is America's healthy aging trainer and the creator of the Ageless Living Lifestyle. He's also a speaker and author of 15 books. His chronological age is 74. However, his fitness age is 34. Rick Cabella, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you very much for having me. And actually, it's Rico. It's Rico.
What did I say?
Rick.
I'm sorry. You're right. I don't know how I shortened your name, so I apologize. So Rico, yes, Rico. And you can find out more about Rico at agelesslivinglifestyle.com, agelesslivinglifestyle.com. So let's talk about this. I'm a big believer that health is so important. It's so vital that I know a lot of us in business, we're running as hard as we can to make a bunch of money. But, if we trade our health for our wealth, then eventually we got to trade our wealth to get our health back, don't you think?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, the biggest thing that I think my message is to people is that, we all want to be successful in all the aspects of our life, in our relationships, in our business, and in what we want to achieve in our life. And in order to be highly successful in every aspect of our life, it takes a lot of energy, right? And good health. If you're not healthy and have a lot of energy and vitality, you're going to be really limited in what you're going to be able to experience and enjoy and create and offer to the world. So it needs to be our number one priority to be, first we got to be healthy and energetic if we're going to be, really live a productive, successful, happy, long lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's vitally important. And you know what? I mean, look, sometimes people don't understand the impact of energy. You know, we don't really understand, but I'll give you a perfect example. If you don't have the energy to play with your kids, that is something that you need to check. Because you as the parent are teaching those children 24/7. And what you're telling them when you don't have the energy to play with them is that they're not important. And maybe you're not sending them that message, but you are sending them a message. You are teaching them something. You know, this, and Rico, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, just because we've gotten older doesn't mean that we have to have significantly less energy, correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, unfortunately, just like aging and getting old and losing energy, people, unfortunately, just kind of bought into that. You know, they just kind of bought into, well, that's normal, that's natural. So they just kind of expect it and bought into it. But that's, again, that's the main message that I have, you know, and I think you know that I have this workshop called All Day Energy, The Natural Way. And so I show people, you know, what's really robbing their energy. We can talk about that today, and what they need to do to produce maximum energy. So that's what we're, I guess that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, let's talk about it because it's so vitally important. So first of all, how does our body produce energy?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. You know, first of all, what we know about energy is that everything in the universe is made up of energy. It's just impulses of energy and intelligence. You know, quantum physics has showed that to us now. So, and including our physical bodies, you know, all matter in our physical bodies are also just made up of impulses of energy. So I guess the first question always is, well, if our bodies are made up of nothing but energy, you know, why don't we always have plenty of energy? And the answer is because, you know, energy can get blocked in our body. You know, from it can be, you know, physical damage. It's mental, emotional states. It's nutritional deficiency. So, and we'll go over all those things that are blocking or depleting our energy. And as a matter of fact, you know, Chinese medicine is actually based on all about energy. It's all about the state of ill health is because we have either lack of energy or we have blocked energy. Right? Is it helps to get the energy flow moving in our body. So actually, you know, we have a saying that our body is actually a power plant, but the power plant, it doesn't have energy, it produces energy. So we actually have to produce our energy, and that's what we really are. Our bodies are heat-producing energy machines. And so the way that works, you know, there's an energy molecule, I'm sure most people have heard of it, it's called ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate, and it's actually an energy molecule that's produced in our mitochondria, and our mitochondria are just, they're called organelles, and they're molecules that are inside our cells, that they're actually the energy factories of our body. That's where our energy is produced, and there's different ways, but the main one is by glucose. You know, glucose or some sugar that's oxidized, you know, chemically, and then converted to ATP. It's really a kind of a complex chemical enzyme reactions. You know, we're not going to go into all that, but and then the ATP releases the energy to the muscle, and so it allows the muscle to actually move. And, you know, what's kind of interesting, Bert, is that it's kind of analogous to the internal combustion engine. It's really analogous to our physical body. Actually, I guess, you know, I guess people who, maybe Henry Ford or whoever invented, not Ford, but whoever invented the internal combustion engine really had some knowledge of how the human body works, you know, so it's the same thing with a car, right? You put in the fuel, and it has a spark, and makes a combustion, and it produces some energy that moves the pistons, that moves the wheels, and that's kind of the same thing that happens into our physical body. So it's so important that we get, you know, the main raw materials that we need. We need lots of oxygen, and we need lots of high energy, you know, food that gets turned into glucose. So we can produce a maximum amount of energy in our body.
Okay, so give us some examples, high-energy foods, because I know people get confused about this all the time. They think caffeine, they think sugar. Give us some good high-energy foods that you like.
Okay, and then we'll talk about what we're doing that's robbing our energy. But, yeah, but the way to talk through the food is, You know, actually, my very first book, it's actually been my best-selling, most popular book. It was called Real Food, Real Fast. It's how to make healthy, fast food. And so it's so important to realize that you know, if we're going to get energy from our food, that's really the reason that we eat, right? It really is to get energy. Then we need to eat food that is like high-octane fuel, that it has the most energy present. You know, I think about this. Have you ever eaten a meal and then afterwards you felt kind of slowed down, kind of tired, a little bit, feel a little bit lazy?
Right. Well, and you know what? Since you mentioned that, I want you know, I think everybody can relate what we in the U.S. Call Thanksgiving, right? Where you put so much food in your body, and then everybody lays around talking about
right.
how full they are and they can't move.
Yeah. It slows you down, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's it. So there's two reasons for that. If you have a meal and then you feel tired and kind of slowed down, it's like you said, the first one, maybe you overate, you ate too much, so all that blood has to take oxygen down to the stomach to help digestion. So if you eat too much at one time, it's going to slow you down. But really the big reason is that, you know, foods have a certain amount of energy available in them. And so if you're eating these highly processed, you know, devitalized junk foods, which so many people are, and fast foods, they have so little energy to give you that you're actually on a negative, because it takes a certain amount of energy to actually, break down the food and turn it into energy so that can be absorbed and used. So you're actually, you know, the whole digestive process takes a certain amount of energy. So you can actually eat some food that's actually going to put you on a negative, so you're actually going to lose energy. So that's why you want to eat what I call real food, and it's pretty simple to figure that out. You know, real food is what's grown in nature. You know, it's organic, fruits and vegetables and whole grains and nuts and seeds and then some, you know, healthy animal products that are raised naturally without any hormones and chemicals and that sort of a thing. So it's pretty simple. You just got to eat real food. Anything that comes in a box or a can or a package or all these sort of things are totally, with all these chemicals in it and preservatives, they're totally devitalized foods, and they have very little energy to give you.
Yeah. And you know what? And it's amazing to me because a lot of us think that all foods are the same, and they're not. And you gave a good example. Something that's homegrown in the garden is going to be completely different, and it doesn't have to be from your personal garden, but something that's grown on a garden, on a real farm,
right.
is going to be completely different and even taste different than something that's coming out of a bag or coming out of a can. And one of the things that we have become really good at is preserving food. But in order to preserve food, as you said, you know, first of all, it takes a bunch of new chemicals to preserve that food. And by the time you eat it, that food could be in that can or that bag for a year or two. So
right.
it's vitalized, as you said. You know, it's almost completely worthless.
That's exactly right. So, again, you just got to keep in mind, it's pretty simple. You just got to eat primarily real food. You know, real food is, like I say, it's what's grown in nature. And like I say, healthy animal products. That's what was put here on the earth for us to eat, and that's what we need to eat. And all these man-made processed foods are really robbing us of energy and of our health. And then the thing that also, since we're on the food thing, and also, you know, all these things that have gotten so popular, all these energy drinks and of course caffeine.
Yes.
See, that's such a big ripoff. You know, they're not energy. See, when you take something like caffeine or sugar or even herbal stimulants, those are just stimulants. That's not energy. Those are just, they just kind of jack your system up for a little while and overstimulate your system, and then it just drops you off and really lets you down. So if you're drinking a lot of caffeine, a lot of coffee, or if you're drinking a lot of energy drinks, what you're really doing is you're really creating long-term fatigue in your body, because you're actually putting stress on your adrenal glands, and you're actually wearing yourself out. So you're creating more fatigue when you're taking what these things are called energy drinks. Again, you don't need any of those things. You just need to eat real food.
Well, you know what? And one of the things that, Rico, that made a big difference in my life, and again, this is one of those things that's overlooked, is getting good sleep. You know,
absolutely.
I hear people brag, And I've done the same thing where you know, you work all day and you sleep very little and you're bragging about it and you're sipping caffeine and stimulants all day long. Let me tell you, that also wears out your body. I mean, you're better off taking a 20-minute nap in the middle of the day than you are taking, you know, two or three Starbucks. You're going to be more happier. It's a wonderful thing. Sleep is the energy drink you're missing.
Absolutely. Let me tell you this. This is what I always tell people. Think about this. We think that we get most of our energy from our food, which is not really true. I mean, we do get some energy, and of course, but really the food we eat is really the building blocks, you know, like the proteins that our body uses to build our body. But where our energy really comes from is, think about this, you know, you can fast and go without food for days and weeks and even months sometimes, right, if you know how to fast properly and still have energy. But how long can you go without sleep and have energy, right? You can only go, you know, some people can maybe make it through one night without sleeping or 2 days, and then your body just totally shuts down. So where you really get your energy and your body's able to, you know, to turn up the power plant again and function again, it's through sleep. So it's so vitally important. And also, I just want to say that, you know, they've had studies these days that have shown that they've given people a cognitive test after they had a certain amount of sleep. So if you don't have 7 to 8 hours of sleep, say you only have 6 hours or 5 hours or 4 hours, each hour less than 7 or 8, your cognitive function really goes down. So it's really a myth that some people say, oh, I can function on 4 hours. Well, they think they can, but they're really not.
Right, and they might be able to do it for a day, but they certainly can't maintain that. It's not the way the body is made. I mean, one of the things I've never understood, I don't want to get into our conversation today, but, you know, this is one of the things that plagues our medical industry, where these interns and these people who are going through becoming doctors, they are forced, and this has got to be some outdated, goofy thing that got started 100 years ago, but these doctors are forced to go 2 or 3 days without any real sleep. They're on call for 24 or 48 hours. And to me, it's like, I would not want that person treating me. You know, it's ridiculous.
That's really a good point.
Bert. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. Okay, so listen, let's talk about this. I want to talk about some of, you know, we've talked about some of the foods, we've talked about some of the energy robbers. I also want to talk about some of the lifestyle factors that give us energy. Talk about that a little bit more.
Okay. But first, still, I haven't talked about the most important thing, that the main thing that's really draining people's energy. And, you know, we do have a really problem with energy in America because, you know, how to have more energy is one of the most searched for terms on the Internet. But the number one energy robber is really our emotional, mental state. So it's really negativity. It's all of our thoughts and beliefs that we're having. So anytime you think you're having any negative thoughts, if you're complaining about your life, or you're angry, or you're upset, or any of those kind of things, or you're blaming the government, you know, whatever you're doing, that really drains your energy, because we know that what begins, you know, what manifests in our physical body begins in our mental, emotional state. So anytime that you're complaining, or you're angry, or you're, you know, all those negative things that we think about, you're really draining your energy. So that's the biggest thing of all. If you want to feel energetic and have a lot of high energy, you got to keep your mind on positive, all the good things in your life, and focus on what's really going good and what you want to create. And that'll give you more energy than anything else of all. So it's so important to have a positive mindset, because if you're complaining or focusing on negative things in your life, you're really draining your energy.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because how we think directly affects how we feel, and how we feel is the most important thing in our lives. And I'll give you a perfect example. If you are low in energy, you know, and to me, Rico, when you're low in energy, you're very close to going in a depression, you know. And so if you're low in energy, you tend not to be as confident. And if you're not confident, you tend not to act as much. And there's an old saying about, you know, a coward dies a thousand deaths, right? Because we're afraid. And so when we're fearful, we don't act the way we should. And that's, again, that's that energy thing. That's how we feel. And so back to how we play with our kids, how we show up in our marriage, how we show up at work. And so how we feel is so important that it really is the most important thing in our lives. And that is connected to how you think.
That's exactly right. So again, it all comes down because you know, still on this energy concept, you know, because everything is energy, right? So even our thoughts and our words and our feelings are all energy too. So you got to watch what you're saying, you know, what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Those are all energy as well, and that's how everything affects everything else in your life. So it all comes back to just really focusing on what's going to give you good energy, and that's really good positive thoughts and good healthy energetic food and getting enough sleep. And you know, then we go on to the lifestyle factors. You know, what I did, Bert, was in my ageless living lifestyle, you know, I realized that, again, you know, today, as everybody knows, we're in this rush, busy society. Everybody's so busy, and so we're in this kind of a soundbite type of environment. But so we need to really boil things down to the essence, and so people can really have some kind of a system that can really work for them. So what I've done with my ageless living lifestyle is I boil it down to like the seven essentials of life. And I think what's really kind of cool and really beneficial about this is that if you learn to master these seven essentials of life, it's going to really elevate your life. It's going to just make such a huge change for you in every aspect. And the thing about it is, these things are the things that we're already doing anyway. We have to breathe. We have to drink water. We have to eat food. We have to eliminate the food. We have to move our body. We have to get sleep. We have to get rest. And we have to use our brains and think. So the point is, we're already doing those things, but we're just not. We haven't learned to really master those things or really think about them and give them enough, you know, understanding and training of how we can do them a lot better. So that's what the ageless living lifestyle is all about, is how to master these things that we're already doing, and that's what's going to make such a huge difference in your energy and your enjoyment of life and how productive you can be and how healthy and how long you can live.
I love it. Rico, we're out of time. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about the ageless lifestyle and how we can have more energy and how we can have a healthier life. Rico, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. It was fun, Bert.
You bet. Good stuff there from Rico Cabella. You can find out more about Rico and his, ageless living lifestyle.com, agelesslivinglifestyle.com, and you can get acquainted with him and his program. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but he has a daily energy routine, and so we'll have to bring him back and talk more about that. Remember, as always, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.